title of today's message is, it's actually a three-part series. We're going to talk about being prepared, and this first message is talking about refineries, the refinery. When God brought this message to me, and, you know, this has been probably about a month or so in the working, many people know I teach. And if you don't, I do. I teach. And the cool thing about teaching is that sometimes it takes you back. And Dan probably could understand when you're teaching young kids and all that stuff. Sometimes you have those little flashbacks to when you were in school. Do you have those? Okay. So when God was bringing this message to me, he was talking to me about being prepared and how we always seem to take that term. And we probably can all identify with when we were in school. Now, we were either one of two kids. We were the kid who was prepared. How many of us were the kid that was prepared in school? You had all your stuff. Okay. If you were not the kid that was prepared, you probably understand this imagery. You were the one that forgot your pen, your pencil. You didn't have your note paper, you know. You had to rely on the kid next to you to get the notes after class, or you need to ask the teacher for a pencil. And I was one of the kids that was prepared, because not that I had a self-conscious issue or anything like that when I was a kid, but I felt like that was so embarrassing to have to raise my hand to ask for something that I should have brought. And I felt like that was just how I felt. Some people were okay with it. They didn't seem like that bothered them. It was like, oh, you know, it happens. Everybody forgets stuff now and then. So, you know, it's okay to be unprepared sometimes, right? All right. Well, that would be an acceptable thing, except I teach at a college level. Okay. I teach at a college level, not a college. I don't teach at a college, but I teach at a college level. What's scary is that I have not kids, but adults that forget their pens. Forget their notes. Forget their papers. Forget that they took a test. Forget that they're taking a test. Forget everything. I mean, they would forget everything. And I'm just like, how did this happen? How did socially we become so unprepared? And that's what birthed this message. That's what birthed this whole series of messages. How did we get to this stage where socially in our world today we could accept unpreparedness as being okay? Where did that come? Now, the reason this has happened, the reason we've gotten to this stage, is because we've taken out the person who actually prepares us. And who is that, Nolan? We've taken God out. That's absolutely right. Now, that doesn't mean we as a church have taken God out. Obviously, we haven't taken God out. We put God in. We're the ones fighting to keep God in. We can say schools, whatever. But being prepared, we have, in order to be prepared, you have to be in relationship with the one who prepares you. And the problem we have is that too many of us for so long have decided we don't need God to prepare us. We don't need his preparation. We don't need him to prepare us. Okay? The difference between being prepared, being ready, and what we're going to talk about today, being made ready, there's a big difference. Sometimes we are the ones that try to take on preparation. We take it on. We say it's something that I can do. I can prepare myself. Most of us do that every morning. We're all sitting here nicely dressed today. We've made ourselves ready. Right? However, that's the stuff that we should be doing. It's the stuff that we shouldn't be doing that we turn around and we say, well, I got this, God. I can handle this. We don't allow him to prepare us. Okay? So, the answer to what it is that we are dealing with in putting, in allowing God to actually prepare us, which in this term, what we're talking about being prepared is we're talking about destiny. How many of us believe right here, right now, that there's a destiny, there's a calling upon your life? Hopefully everybody raises their hand. I would hope so. There is a destiny, there's a call on your life. We talked about predestination. We talked about how God has made a plan for you. How are you going to be prepared for that if you don't allow God to prepare you for that? Think about that. And then in that same moment, ask yourself this question. What is keeping you from allowing yourself to be prepared? What's keeping you from doing it? I have the answer. And I will tell you the answer. It's your sinful nature. Now, I'm not saying, oh no, it's because you're a sinner. How many people here are sinners? Again, everybody should raise their hand. If you don't, you're sinning right now because you're lying. And we'll deal with you later. No, I'm kidding, of course. But anyway, no, the fact is that we all struggle with sin. It's sinful nature. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Sinful nature is dealing with who we are because of Adam and Eve in the garden, what they've done, and that pattern of behavior that is passed down from generation to generation to generation, that we need to be prepared for. We are not equipped to deal with that. He is the only one that has the equipment to deal with that. He is the only one. That's it. There is no way you can handle it. You can't deal with it. You may be able to prevent some sin on your own will. You may be able to, but you cannot live a lifestyle under your own permission to continue that lifestyle for the rest of your life. It is impossible. I'm just going to let you know. It's impossible. If you think you got it, you don't got it. I'll tell you right now, because you're resisting the one who prepares you. And you can't do it. He's made it clear. You can't do it. The answer that we're going to find today is found in Isaiah. And if you would turn with me to Isaiah 48, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. I'll give everybody a few moments. I am reading from the NIV, so if you have a different translation, you might see some different words, but for the most part, the Old Testament pretty much stays the same. Isaiah 48, verse 8 through 11. And I'll read. You have neither heard nor understood from of old your ears have not been opened. Well do I know how treacherous you are. You were called a rebel from birth. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. That's some really powerful words there, but what we need to really look at are some really key words. There's some keys here, important ones. God knows our condition. He knows every single one of our conditions. How many of us have done this? And again, raise your hand if you have. This week, we'll just keep it to a frame of this week. Went in your prayer closet and said, God, I really, really, really need your help with this. I need your help. I can't do this, and I need you to help me do this. Just something simple. I'm not feeling good. Could you take this headache away? Could you help me get a job? Could you help me, deal with my kids? Could you help me, get this stuff in time because I don't know if I have enough time to do it? Can you, anything? How many? Yeah. I think everybody does it. If you don't, you're not praying to God, which that's a bad thing, but even in the simplest of prayers, God hears your prayers, but He understands your condition before you even prayed. He knows what's going on in your life. Did you know this? It shouldn't be a reality. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipotent. He sees all. He hears all. He knows it before it happened to you. He knows what you're going to do now that's going to have ramifications 3 days later that you're going to pray to Him about 4 days later. He knows it all. He knows your condition better than you do. What does that mean? Well, how does this condition happen? Well, He said it right here in Isaiah. It happened because we were born into it. The treachery that we will perform. He knows our heart. And if we know what Scripture says, our heart is deceptively what? Wicked. It's wicked. We will do treachery. It's in our nature. Sinful nature. It's nothing that you wish to do. I don't believe anybody here wants to do the things that are against the will of God. Does anybody here want to? I thought you were going to raise your hand. I was going to say, we're going to have a real long talk later. Nobody wants to hurt God. It's not in our nature to want to hurt God, but it's in our nature to hurt God. Scary thought. Thank God Jesus died on the cross for that. Because if that didn't happen, where would we be now? We'd be done. He'd have balled it up, slam dunk, 3 points into the pit of fire. It'd have been gone. Because there would have been no other way. But there is a way. And thank God it's his Son. But the thing is that He's not going to destroy us. He says that. Right there in Isaiah, what did He say? said, I will not destroy you. Anybody? Completely. I will not destroy you completely. Verse 9. For my own name's sake I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. He's not going to destroy you completely. He will destroy you partially, however. There's partial destruction in your way. It will happen. That's what he's saying. Not completely, partially. Now, we could laugh at that. I know some of us might even find a joke or two in there. You're not all dead. You're only half dead. Okay? You're going to have to get used to this. If you're not willing to get used to this, you don't know what you signed up for. Pastor has said this many, many times. You want to be saved? That's great. You can be saved. You can sit in a pew. But if you really, really want to walk in faith and in power and in might and what God wants for you, it's going to cost you everything you have and everything you are. That's the call. That is not something new. That is a known fact. If you are going to submit yourself to the work and allow him to prepare you, it's going to cost you everything you have and everything you are. Why do you think it's going to destroy you, but not completely? Because the things that you are and the things that you have aren't of God. So he has to. Because he cannot be mixed with that. It's not in his nature. It's not in his nature. But he has a process. And it's a very good process. And it's one that we should start to learn. And maybe if we don't understand it, I think we all have an understanding of it, but we don't fully understand it. And that process is refining. He says he will refine us. He's not going to destroy us completely, but he will refine us. So that means that this process of refining incorporates some form of destruction. There's going to be destruction. Did you think that your life would not be destroyed? Did you sign up for church and think that your life would not be destroyed? There's a thing we have. That first year you get saved, you're on the what? You're on the honeymoon. God's taking care of you. He's showing you he loves you. He's going to show you the things that he wants to give you. He's going to show you promises. He's going to show you a whole bunch of great things that he has in store for your life. And he's going to train you gently. After the honeymoon, guess what? Now it gets tough. Because now he's going to do something that you're probably not going to like. How many people have been here and don't like it? How many people are in it right now and don't like it? Guess what? Get over it. Get over it. It's promised. It's promised. Stop whining. Stop complaining about it. It's going to happen. It's a reality of the walk that you are going to have to go through in order to get to what he wants to make you. So, this refining process, I did some research. Ed, you'll probably enjoy this. So I hope you'll like this. The refining process that I chose to use here, now mind you, there are many different types of refining. But I felt this one did the best of giving us a real world example and then showing a little bit more depth to it. The process is known as pyrometallurgy. Pyrometallurgy. Now I know there's one keyword in there, pyro, that Ed probably gets right off the bat. Pyrometallurgy, and I will give you the definition. Pyrometallurgy consists of the thermal treatment of minerals and metallurgical ores that concentrates to bring about physical and chemical transformations in the materials to enable recovery of valuable metals. Translation, or smaller translation. He is going to take this crappy metal that was found in a desert, or maybe in a camp that was pillaged, and he's going to take it and he's going to throw it into a furnace, also known as a blast furnace. And in that furnace, it will melt down to complete molten state until all of the impurities and other things that do not belong in the metal are removed and burnt off. And the removal of that comes out and then it is laid out, and it becomes a pure, more cleaner, richer, shinier, better form of the previous metal. Okay? The heat is on. We know the song. The heat is on. The heat is on. Guess what? If you're in the oven, put your hands up in the air and praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. You want to know why? Because you are being refined. The result of the refining is what? Purification of your soul. You were being purified. You are being cleansed. You are having the impurities, the things that are not good for you, removed. It should be no surprise to us in James. James 1, 2, 8. Trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that it is the testing of your faith that produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. It needs to be finished. If you pull the metal out of the furnace too soon, what happens to it? It's no good. It's no good. It still has impurities. Can it be melted down again? Yeah, it can be melted down again. This process can go on and on and on and on and on. But let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Mature and complete. Not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and an unstable in all they do. The focus, church, in this refining process is about maturity. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about stepping up. We're talking about finally putting wheels on what you talk and walk. We had a big message about sit, walk, and stand. But I don't think people really understand what walk means. Walk means I'm actually going to do it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to do it. Whether I'm right or wrong or indifferent, I'm going to do it. I'm going to submit myself to the refining process because God said so. The reason we're immature is because we resist the process. We resist it. We don't want it. We want to stay here. We want to stay immature. Why? Because we like our sinful nature. Admit it. It's the first part of the process. Admit you have a problem. I'm not gonna say I haven't been here. I have. How many people have problems? Are you admitting them? You just did. Be more specific. What's your problem? Admit you have one. Is it causing you to be immature? Is it causing you to accept a behavior that is unacceptable in the eyes of your Lord? Is it, maybe it's not a behavior. Maybe it's a mentality. Maybe it's a thought life. Maybe it's the way you think. There is a such thing as immature thoughts. I'll give you an example. I have a student in school. I have a student in my class. And for purposes, I will not say names. But I have a student in my class. He is 45 years old. And as a 45-year-old man, I have certain expectations. I don't have them on this 45-year-old man. He acts more immature than 17-year-old boys. That's a scary thought. That's 45 years old. And he acts like a 17-year-old. He's as unprepared as anybody I've ever seen. And it's ridiculous. And it blows my mind as to how could that be. How could that be? But I understand now. I totally get it. He resists God. He doesn't just resist God, but he resists the process of becoming mature. There comes a point in time in our life, guys, guess what? It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. where it says we put away childish things. That doesn't mean you don't get to have fun. It doesn't mean you have to become a bump on the log and become a grump. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about becoming mature. It's becoming responsible. It's becoming a person that actually recognizes, I actually have a purpose and a call in my life. And if I continue to do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to miss the bus. Now, do I want to miss the bus? Maybe I do. Maybe actually I do. Because I don't think I'm ready. I'll catch the next bus. There's a word for you in there too. I'll let you think about the word. I'll let you go find it out. You'll find out that God's not going to let you continue to miss the bus and not have a consequence for it. Especially if he's called you. If he's called you, if you know you've been called to do X, Y, and Z, I'm going to call you out. Why aren't you doing X, Y, and Z? And if you don't want to hear from me, go ahead. You can ask Pastor. He'll tell you. But I've hit the point in my life where guess what? I know what my call is. I know what my call is. I'm good. I'm on the train. I'm ready to go. Are you? Or are you still resisting the refining process? Are you still resisting God? I can't answer that question. Maybe the part of the problem is you don't know. Maybe you don't know what your calling is. Well, that's not our job to find out. Did you know that? That's not an eldership's job. That's not a leader's job. That's not the pastor's job. It's not his job to tell you what to do. We're not going to tell you what to do. Nobody told me. Nobody told Dan. Nobody told Pastor. I mean, he'll tell you right now. If you had to call and somebody said, you're going to be a pastor, you wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want it. It costs a lot. It costs a whole lot. But if God calls you, do you know who you got to believe in? Who do you believe in? Who do you trust? Why are you stopping? Why does that stop there? Why does it stop there? Because you're afraid to go into the furnace of affliction. You're afraid to be tested. You're afraid to be put through a trial and a tribulation. You don't want to grow up. It's stopping you. And I'm telling you, stop. Embrace it. Move on. Guess what? It doesn't get easier staying put. I'll tell you what. I'd rather have God's furnace of affliction than have the bullets and darts of the enemy continuing to pelt me until I'm dead. Because guess what? Not only did I take a beating, but guess what? I'm now out of God's grace. I'm now in a position where I'm putting God away. I've decided I'd rather sit here in my own slothfulness and in my immaturity and choose to embrace the things of this world than to embrace what God has in store for me. That's a bad place, guys. That's a real bad place. Don't put yourself in that place. Just embrace the points that God is going to test you. God is going to put you through tough situations. It's not a surprise that people that go to church that are real hard believers of Jesus Christ are actually going through stuff and have trials and have tribulations. This should not be a shock. I mean, it really shouldn't. I'm actually more surprised that there aren't more miserable churches walking around like, oh my God, so tough. Oh, God, just give me one more minute. I just need a breath. I need to catch my breath before you. Oh God. No, we're always what? Happy. Cheering for God. Giving him praise. Giving him glory. In the midst of our suffering. Gee, that sounds a lot like somebody else. Who else did that? Who else found joy in the suffering that he received? Jesus. Jesus. He knew what he was going to do. He knew the pain. He knew the suffering. He knew everything across the board. What was going to happen. And he did it. he followed through with the persecution, the having his beard ripped out, the being mocked, a crown of thorns on his head, beatings, lashings that none of us could even amount or understand. He took it. Why? A furnace of affliction. He understood the greater call of his life. What's your call? I know what my call is. I know what all our calls are. We all have the same call. We're to be like him. Well, if he can go to the cross and take a beating, then surely so can I. And if we don't have that mindset, then we're really missing the point. The last scripture here ties it all in. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. This is my first and foremost scripture that God really woke me up and got my attention. And hopefully today, he will do the same for you guys. Maybe he will. Maybe this scripture will become so magnanimous to you. Maybe it will become important to you. Maybe you'll really start to understand the depth. I'll tell you what, I've read this scripture. This was my first scripture that I read. It was my favorite scripture. It still is my favorite scripture. I mean, all my favorite scriptures, but this one has a deeper meaning to me. Mark 8th chapter, verses 34 to 38. Guess what? I've read this scripture so many times, and now, yet again, he's opened it even more and given me a deeper reality, a deeper truth. If you have scripture that you love and you read, I challenge you, read it again and again and again. And guess what? Every time you read it, it's going to get more real. It's going to become more real in your life. It's going to become more impactful. It's going to become more deeper. And God's going to expand your vision. He's going to open up the floodgates. He does every time. And this is just another prime example. It's the way of the cross. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple," I'm going to translate, "whoever wants to be more mature." Do you think the disciples were immature? They were at first, but they were trained to become mature. Because if we go into Acts, these guys who were immature did what? Flipped it up. They set the world on fire. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. That's what it's about. Right there. You know, you can keep going. That's fine. That you can keep reading that scripture. It'll give you more depth. It'll give you more reality. But right there, if you stop right there, what do you think this is about? Do you think it's about identifying with Christ? Well, yeah, it is about identifying with Christ, but it's more. Pick it up. You have to submit yourself to the process of, guess what? If I pick up this cross and I put it on my back, I'm going to walk that path. I'm going to be tormented. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to have people mock me. I'm going to have people pull my beard out. Thank God I shaved. I'm going to have a crown of thorns put on my head. I'm going to have to sacrifice my life. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be rough. It's not going to be easy. This is not church easy. This is not easy church. This isn't safe church. This isn't, you're wrong. This isn't the place for you. I'm sorry if you thought that was the way it's going to be. Sorry. And it ain't going to change anytime soon. We're not interested in safe church here. We're interested in setting this world on fire, just like the disciples did in Acts. And if you're not on board, you're not on board. It's okay. But understand, you're taking an immature spot. You're being selfish. You'd rather hold on to the gifts and things of this world than to really reach a higher calling. And there's a higher calling. What is that higher calling? I don't know. Do you know what God wants to craft you into? Maybe it's a sword. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's an arrowhead. Maybe it's a shield. Maybe it's a piece of armor. But you're not going to make it into that field and fight a good fight until you're refined. Because God's not going to use crappy metal. That's not his gift. Because guess what? That metal needs to shine and reflect who? It needs to reflect Christ. So if you're not shiny, you're not pure, you're not refined, you're not getting used. That's the way it's going to be. That's not my words, that's his words. There's a process, guys, and it's an important one. And this is only the first part. This is just step one. We need to first submit ourselves to becoming refined. We need to understand, I'm messed up. I got a lot of garbage going on in here. Garbage factory, possibly, maybe, I don't know. Things could be getting put in here I don't even like. I could be putting my eyes to problems. I could be doing a whole bunch of stuff that I may not even realize that me doing it is going to have ramifications. I may not know. Sin in, sin out. Guess what? It's going to be a really long walk. Repentance is here for a reason. But it's not about repenting as much as it is about submitting yourself to God so that He can work in you and refine you, because you're not going to do it by yourself. Left to your own devices, you choose sin. Because it's always going to make you feel good. It's always going to make things feel right. It's always going to make things cater to your emotions and what you love and how you feel about things and da 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 da. I'm not interested in your feelings. Neither is He. And if you talk to other leaders, I'm sure you might find out, guess what? They're not either. We're past that stage, guys. We're past that stage. We're at a new stage now. This is an equipment stage. We all have our own baggage. You know, and most of the men have gone through the process. We know about our baggage. We've been revealed about all the different types of baggage that we have. And what did He tell you to do with it? Leave it at the airport. Well, maybe not a good idea. It's probably not a good idea. I'm going to leave a random package at the airport. By the way, all those bomb experts are on the phone. They want to know why your luggage is sitting there in the middle of the conveyor belt. You know, not a good idea. Anyway, but the process is important. It is a very important process. This refining process is a must-do for every believer in Jesus Christ who wants to actually say, God, I am sold out. I don't know what you really think. Maybe you do know. Maybe you don't know what that means. If you do know what that means and you embrace that philosophy of, I'm sold out for the kingdom of God. If that's you, if you say that, then understand this. You're going to go through affliction. You're going to bear the cross. Or guess what? You're not going to get used. You could say it till the cows come home. You can keep preaching all you want. Stand on a pulpit and preach out your heart. And say, I did this for you, God, I did this for you. And what's He going to tell you? I never knew you. Because you wouldn't submit to me. I don't submit to you. He doesn't answer to us, guys. We answer to Him. And if He's called you and you said, yes, sir, I submit to you, God, then guess what? Get in the furnace of affliction and get it over with. Stop mamby-pambying around, crying about your situation. Stop going to your prayer closet, crying, why God is this, why God is that. God, why can't you? Could you please, God, could you please? We're past it. We're past it. If you're in the furnace, embrace it. Put your hands up and clap for joy. Thank God that you're going to come out better on the end. You're going to come out better. And guess what? You might go through once. You may go through once, but it may not be done. You might have to go through again. It's okay. I'm telling you right now, hear it, it's okay. And guess what? Guys, you might be tough. It's okay to cry. Because it hurts. It hurts. Because it's parts of us that maybe we didn't recognize that we don't want to give up. But we have to give up if we want to do what God said. And guess what? I'm on Father's business now. I'm doing what God said. I don't care if it's going to hurt or not. There are some tough things that we're going to have to deal with as Christians. Get used to it. That's refining. And I'm going to encourage you guys, if you're really on board with this, we're going to come back next week and we're going to learn about the next step, which is tempering. Because this stuff has got to be used and made into something. You're going to be made into something. Maybe you don't know what you're going to be made into. If you do, then good. Good. Then embrace the tempering. Because it's the next step. Amen? Amen. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You, God, for Your people, God. We thank You, God, for Your process, God, that You've given us instruction through Your word, God, that You've showed us and time and time again, God, of how You want to make us into Your image, God, how You have a plan, a purpose, God, for our lives, God. You've called us, God, out of darkness into light, God, and we thank You, God, because without Your process, God, we would never know You. And that breaks our hearts, God, to be in a place to never know You. to know our dad, who cares more about us than we care about ourselves, God. So Lord God, we submit ourselves to the refinery, God. We ask, God, if we're not in the furnace, God, put us in the furnace, God. Put us into that, into that blast furnace of affliction, God, so that we can have the sinful nature pulled out of our lives, God, so that we can shine the image of Jesus Christ, God, like we sing that song, God, that you would shine brighter than any light, God, from our lives, God, and people would know us because they would see you, God. Yes. Not us, but you, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you for your provision of the word, God. And may it bring glory to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you guys need